This is Intersection, I'm Matthew Petty. With the Supreme Court once again considering a case that attempts to throw out the Affordable Care Act, health insurance companies and providers are figuring out how to move forward as the coronavirus pandemic continues to surge. Open enrollment is underway too, and once again people are picking insurance plans, many of them as they wrestle with unemployment. Let's get back to our conversation with Florida Blues' Tony Jenkins, 90.7's Abe Abariah, and Primary Care Access Network's Ann Packham. Abe Abariah, I want to bring you back into this conversation. Is the Affordable Care Act still popular?
It is. So Kaiser Family Foundation has been surveying about the general attitude towards the Affordable Care Act since its inception. And at this point, it's about 55% of people view it favorably, about 39% view it unfavorably. Mm-hmm. So it's a majority of people are viewing it favorably. Now, when you look at different parts of it, you know, the coverage for pre-existing conditions, for example, that is universally popular. That has very few people who would like the Supreme Court to overturn that. Now, when you ask people about, do you want the Supreme Court to overturn the Affordable Care Act, it's still a wide majority that say, no, we don't want the Supreme Court to do that. It's about 58%. But that one is split along party lines. Mm-hmm. So if you're a Democrat, it's about 89% of people don't want the Supreme Court to overturn it. Independents, about 66%. But then if you're a Republican, 76% of Republicans do want the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn the Affordable Care Act. So there is a partisan divide on parts of it, but not the entire thing.
What about people who lose or gain income during the year then? And what are the risks for people losing a job or gaining a job in 2021?
That is a tricky part of this. So the way the Affordable Care Act subsidies work, so if you lose your job and you are able to get subsidies for your health insurance, those are essentially tax breaks that are front-loaded to help reduce the cost of the premiums. So if you think your income for 2021 is going to be a certain amount and you end up getting a new job that pays higher, or you end up losing a job and paying less, that can change your tax liability at the end of the year, which can be tricky for people to navigate. Mm-hmm. So there are risks that, you know, if your income is going up or down, that you need to kind of contact your insurance company or someone like Ann Packham to kind of help navigate what to do in those situations.
Well, that's probably a good opportunity to bring Ann back into this conversation. Ann, I mean, you must be watching what's going on at the Supreme Court with a little bit of trepidation too, I imagine.
Yes and no. I mean, I'm kind of one of these keep calm and enroll on sort of people because I've been doing this since 2013. We've had a lot of, Supreme Court cases. We've had a change of administration that was not favorable toward the Affordable Care Act, and we're still here, and we're still helping people to get things done day after day. So I feel like we should just wait and see what happens, and based on the conversations that happened yesterday at the Supreme Court, it doesn't look like the judges are going to throw out the whole Affordable Care Act. So I just say stay calm, keep enrolling. And this whole issue about your income change, we work with that all the time. This is a particularly interesting year for that because mm-hmm. A lot of people took unemployment, and that is taxable income. So we work with people to say, okay, well, if your unemployment insurance paid you more than your job would have, we need to look at that, and maybe you're going to have a tax liability with, you know, at the end of the year. If it paid less, it's not an issue. So that's not new to this year at all. It's heightened because a lot of people don't understand how unemployment insurance works in relationship to their marketplace application. Mm-hmm. But we just continue to keep calm and enroll on.
Sounds like a plan. Well, President-elect Joe Biden has been talking about the Affordable Care Act, the signature legislation of Obama's presidency. Let's take a listen to a speech he made about that.
Let's be absolutely clear about what's at stake. The consequences of the Trump administration's argument are not academic or an abstraction. For many Americans, they are a matter of life and death in a literal sense. This argument will determine whether health care coverage of more than 20 million Americans who acquired under the Affordable Care Act will be ripped away in the middle of the nation's worst pandemic in a century. Over 100 million people, as the vice president-elect pointed out, over 100 million people with pre-existing conditions, like asthma, diabetes, cancer, could once again be denied coverage.
All right, so President-elect Joe Biden painting things in pretty stark terms there. Abe, your thoughts listening to that little segment of that speech?
Well, the question of pre-existing conditions is a really important question, not just because of, you know, what happens to people who have cancer or diabetes, but now you've got a pandemic and COVID-19, and we're still studying what the long-term impacts of that. So that could also be a pre-existing condition going forward. So that is something people are worried about. Mm-hmm. And more, even, you know, beyond that, this pandemic has had a massive mental health impact. You know, we're talking about 40% of people when they do surveys are, you know, reporting clinical signs of anxiety and depression, mm-hmm. Compared to, you know, 10-11% pre-pandemic. So if you start having mental health become, you know, as big of an issue as it's become in the last few months, that again could be another pre-existing condition that's at stake. And again, you know, the argument is always that, well, we're going to get rid of the Affordable Care Act, but we're going to keep the coverage for pre-existing conditions. That gets trickier, though, than in practicality and actually getting that to work. So if the Affordable Care Act were to be overturned, there could be some really serious consequences going forward.
Yeah, just on the mental health aspect too, I do note there's studies that have come out recently kind of tying COVID-19 to effects on the brain, right? So, I mean, there are so many health effects we don't fully understand yet, but it's a lot to take in and a lot of potential problems there.
Matt, you were breaking up there. Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, sure. I was just noting on the mental health aspect, not only, you know, talking about anxiety and depression and things connected to the pandemic, but there's also studies showing that there's, you know, effects on the brain from COVID-19. So a whole host of medical issues kind of arising from this disease that we don't completely understand yet and are going to have big implications for healthcare and, of course, insurance.
Absolutely. Going forward, it's going to be, you know, this is going to be something that, you know, is going to be studied very heavily going forward, because there are people who, you know, months past this are reporting symptoms still, and they're still trying to figure out what are some of the long-term consequences. You know, there are people who recover and seem to not have an issue going forward, but that's not the case with everyone.
Mm-hmm. Tony Jenkins, Central Florida Market President for Florida Blue. Thinking about the Trump administration and its relationship to the Affordable Care Act, I mean, it famously cut its marketing budget by 90% for the Affordable Care Act. I'm wondering what you're doing as a private insurance company to reach consumers now.
Yeah, it's kind of challenging these days, because we really relied on a lot of face-to-face engagement out in the community with reaching consumers at events and neighborhoods, trying to do what we could to really communicate and market to them. Well, all of that's off the table right now. But we are still reaching out to folks that have currently insurance to make sure that they renew their plans with us. Mm-hmm. We're trying to draw people off of the sidelines. We are using our agent channels and our broker channels, and we're also still utilizing our Florida Blue retail centers, where before folks would be able to access them by walking in there. They can't do that today, so we've gone virtual. Mm-hmm. And virtual health is really becoming more prominent in today's world across the entire healthcare system, be able to reach out and communicate and market to individuals and businesses and consumers about making sure that they understand the necessity of them purchasing healthcare.
Tony Jenkins, surveys have found that about 4 out of 5 people who need insurance may not know that they have an option to help them buy it. So how do you reach people like that? I mean, is online the way to go?
Well, yeah, and I get that, because before the pandemic, I would go out and speak at senior centers or just community centers and churches, and I'd ask a question: how many of you understand that you can have affordable health care through Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act? And there would be one third or one half the room that would say they don't know about it. Mm. But it's because of the complexity of the lives that people are living today. If I'm speaking to a single parent that's doing her best to try to support her family, two jobs, coming home, taking care of her family, what time do they have to prioritize various aspects of their lives? They've got to put food on the table, pay the rent. So we've got to reach those individuals. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to plug into the community venues that they rely on, churches, community groups, mm-hmm. neighborhoods, somehow to be able to reach those. But it's challenging, but we're doing our best to reach out to those folks to help them understand that there is financial assistance available for them to potentially get health insurance.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the individual mandate, if we could. I mean, this is the least popular part of the Affordable Care Act requirement. Everyone has to have health insurance or pay a fee, but starting in 2019, that fee has been $0, and yet health insurance costs have not skyrocketed without it. Does Florida Blue want the incoming Biden administration to bring back that individual mandate penalty?
That's something that I'll leave up to the legalese, mm-hmm. but because we've been focusing on making sure that we're showing the value, I think if you show that where folks at some point in all of our lives we're going to be accessing the healthcare system, and we want to show that where healthcare and health insurance can meet the needs of the families. And I think if we show that where they definitely need to make sure that this is something that is necessary and needed in their families, then they're going to view this as a positive. And they're going to view this as something that, you know, it's the carrot and the stick. Mm-hmm. And so we don't believe that the stick is necessary. Let's show the carrot. Let's show the abilities for someone to get on this track of wellness and prevention. And we feel like folks will definitely sign up from that perspective.
There's a lot of talk, too, and a lot of information coming out around a potential vaccine. That has been fast-tracked. A number of companies working on that. Pfizer coming out with some news there about what they say is some pretty positive results from their trial of their vaccine. What role will Florida Blue have in distributing a COVID-19 vaccine when one becomes available?
Well, we want to make sure that we are going to be following the directions of the FDA, CDC, and I'm sure that there will be guidelines that will be established and insurers and the healthcare systems will be asked to follow these guidelines and these rules and these perspectives. And so we're anxious to find out how the vaccine is going to be recommended to get out into the community, into the workforce, and in different segments. Mm-hmm. And so we'll just keep watching and waiting for more information, as it's pretty early right now,
yep.
To make sure that we understand how insurance will play a role in this.
Ann Pack, I just want to come back to you for a moment, if I could. Just as far as signups go, is there still the same kind of interest that you would have seen maybe like a year ago in the Affordable Care Act? Are people a little bit hesitant to sign up, or are we still seeing kind of people signing on at the same rate they would have been?
I mean, so far, we've been very busy since November 1st started. And I think more people are referring friends. To Tony's point about the carrot and the stick, I've been doing this now. This is my eighth open enrollment. I probably could count on one hand the number of people who have ever come to me to enroll in health insurance who said they were doing it because they don't want to pay a fine. Mm-hmm. People come to work with us to get health insurance because they want to get the preventive care, they want to get healthy, they want to have some kind of insurance in case, you know, worst case scenario. So we haven't seen a drop off at all, but it is really difficult right now when there isn't funding for national advertising. Our funding still has not been restored to previous years, so we aren't doing anything, you know, big kind of advertising. So we're relying on the health insurance companies to get people on board with the idea of getting covered. And I think people now, because we are in a pandemic, are more likely to sign up, even if they're doing it for preventive reasons, because we know that if you have an underlying condition, if it's not well treated, if your diabetes is not well controlled, or you have asthma, and your chances of having severe complications from COVID-19 are much higher. So mm-hmm. we haven't seen a drop off yet. I guess the numbers will tell us at the end of open enrollment. I do think there's going to be a lot of misunderstanding, or a lot of people who don't get covered during open enrollment because they don't have a job right now. They have not been able to find a job after losing their position, and they think, well, I can't sign up now. We would work with them to figure out if there's any other, you know, maybe they have some self-employment that they haven't been mm-hmm. traditionally reporting that would bring them over enough to get the subsidies. So we will only see at the end of open enrollment what the effect is.
Just quickly, Ann Packham, would you be hoping for some more federal dollars for advertising the Affordable Care Act insurance or open enrollment under a Biden administration?
That would be the strong expectation, because the funding was cut so drastically, 90%. So we would hope that the new administration would restore that funding and advertise just the way Medicare is advertised. You see, TV advertisements during prime time for Medicare open enrollment, but we see nothing for the marketplace. So I'm very hopeful that we will see a restoration of funding for advertising and for navigator services as well.
Well, Ann Packham is the Marketplace Project Director at Primary Care Access Network, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We're also joined by Tony Jenkins. He is the Central Florida Market President for Florida Blue. Tony, nice to have you along as well.
Thank you very much. I've really enjoyed the conversation.
And 90.7 Health reporter Abe Abaraya. Abe, thank you too.
Thank you.
Still to come, the past 4 years have seen new milestones in space exploration, including a return to human spaceflight from the US for the first time in nearly 10 years, and the establishment of Space Force. We'll chat with Laura Forsyk with Astrolytical for a look back at space policy and achievements under the Trump administration, and what the next 4 years may hold for NASA and commercial space companies.
What we see here is NASA being a bit overcommitted in what they are directed to do by Congress and by the presidential administrations, but they're not necessarily given the big funding to do it.
We're back in a minute.